Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading the San Angelo Standard Times. And the articles we'll be reading were published during the week of March 15th, 2020. San Angelo Landscaper Back in Jail for Theft of Property by Rosanna Aguilera. A San Angelo landscaper returned to jail Wednesday, March 18th, after being indicted for theft January 9th. The man was indicted after a Better Business Bureau investigation revealed a pattern of failing to perform work after he was paid, according to court records. Michael Eugene LaFoy, 48, was arrested November 21, 2019, on suspicion of theft of property between $1,500 and $30,000. He was indicted on this charge January 9, 2020. He found himself back in the Tom Green County Jail on Wednesday for theft of property. According to online jail records, he was arrested on two counts of suspicion of theft between $100 and $750 in Midland County. LaFoy has a bond of $500 for each count and remains in Tom Green County Jail as of 5 p.m. Wednesday. Two arrested in Tom Green County after traffic stop leads to FBI jacket, drugs, and weapons, by Elena Edgen. Two San Angelo residents have been arrested after a traffic stop near Carlsbad revealed drugs, weapons, and a jacket with FBI on the back, according to a release from the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office. Around 5 p.m. Saturday, March 14th, a deputy working on U.S. Highway 87 North noticed a driver wasn't wearing a seatbelt near Carlsbad and conducted a traffic stop, according to the release. The deputy noticed a sawed-off rifle between the driver's seat and the center console. A search also revealed two other firearms, ammunition, a pair of brass knuckles, drug paraphernalia, approximately 7 grams of methamphetamine, and one nylon windbreaker marked FBI. A female passenger with an outstanding arrest warrant from the U.S. Marshals Service lied about her identity. Both her and the driver were arrested and transported to Tom Green County Jail. Skylar Eads, the 28-year-old driver, was arrested on suspicion of possession of a prohibited weapon, the short-barrel firearm. He also had two outstanding warrants from San Angelo. Eads remained in jail with an additional charge of expired vehicle registration as of 4:15 p.m. Wednesday. His bond is listed at $11,000, according to online jail records. The woman, Farrah Wilson, 24, was arrested on suspicion of possession of methamphetamine and the warrant. She was released to another agency Tuesday, according to online jail records. San Angelo man arrested after child choked for 10 seconds, red marks on neck, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man has been arrested after a child was found with red marks around their throat, according to an arrest affidavit. An officer responded to a domestic disturbance in San Angelo on Monday, March 16th, where they met a relative of the child. The relative stated that a 62-year-old man placed his hands around the neck of a child, 14 years old or younger, records state. The man choked the child for about 10 seconds, which left red marks on the child's neck, according to the affidavit. The officer asked the man if he wanted to say anything, and the man requested an attorney, records state. Police arrested Stephen Arthur Garvey, 62, Monday, on suspicion of bodily injury to a child. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $10,000 bond as of 11 a.m. Wednesday, March 18th, according to online jail records. San Angelo ISD forced to play waiting game with athletics, by Charles Bryce. Like the rest of the state, San Angelo Independent School District is currently in a wait-and-see situation after the University Interscholastic League mandated a 2-week suspension of athletics practices and competitions due to the COVID-19 outbreak in Texas. Last Friday, the UIL announced that all sanctioned rehearsals, practices, and workouts would be suspended from March 16th through the 29th. Students were scheduled to return to classes from spring break this week, but SAISD made the decision last Friday to extend the break another week. That meant the cancellation of all school activities, including sports, clubs, and extracurricular events, for the week of March 16th through the 20th. Until things return to close to normal as possible, everyone's hands are tied right now. "There's too much unknown," said Brent McCallie, SAISD athletic director. "Things are changing every day right now, with the number of confirmed cases and things like that throughout this thing. And now we've had two deaths as of Wednesday, actually in Texas." Yes, the UIL did suspend play for 2 weeks, but I know several school districts that have shut down until April 3rd or April 6th. I can't foresee us being able to go back. Even if we are back in school, not everyone else will be. I can see this thing being suspended longer. I really can. Again, that's not my call. That's the UIL's call. It's a crazy dream, it feels like sometimes, but it's real. The biggest local sporting event this week affected by the UIL suspension was the annual San Angelo Relays, which attracts a large contingent of teams from across the state. The relays were scheduled for Friday and Saturday at San Angelo Stadium before it was called off as a precautionary measure to ensure the health and safety of the student athletes and everyone else involved. "It wasn't a difficult decision in terms of canceling the meet," McCallie said. "The reason behind canceling, that was a no-brainer. But to actually do it, that was hard. That's kind of a centerpiece for this school district when it comes springtime. Everyone comes out and enjoys that. But without a doubt, it was the right thing to do. Baseball and softball, those are small events with 50 or 60 people. The relays, that's 2,000 or 3,000 people. It made all the sense in the world to cancel the relays for sure. We're just kind of sitting and hanging around right now on idle until we hopefully get some good news here in a week or so." The boys and girls soccer teams at Central and Lakeview were scheduled to wrap up district play this week, with the playoffs to start March 26th through the 28th. The local baseball and softball teams were either early on in the district action or were scheduled to begin league play this week. All of the spring sports, baseball, softball, track and field, powerlifting, gymnastics, and golf, have been affected in one way or another. As much as people hated the relays and other athletic events being canceled or postponed, McCallie says you have to look at the bigger picture. "I think our school district has done a great job with being very proactive with all of this and keeping our kids' safety first and our community first," he said. Athletics kind of takes a back seat, which it should right now. If and when we get the green light, hopefully we'll be as ready as we can at that point, but it's tough to say right now for sure. McCallie and his staff have had to adjust, taking on new responsibilities in the meantime. "I've been more involved with SAISD and what we're doing now with the schools and the meal planning," he said. "And now they're talking about the virtual learning. I've been more involved in that than I have anything else. There's been a little bit of conversation with some of the other ADs around our districts and stuff, but we really can't do anything right now. There's a chance that the latter part of next week that it looks like some schools are going to come back and that we might look at revising some schedules and condensing some schedules and shrinking some schedules, trying to get things done. Athletics is on hold, and that's the simplest way to put it." And now here is a blog that is being published by the San Angelo Standard-Times answering various questions. "Coronavirus in San Angelo, a look at its impact. Are there any cases of coronavirus in San Angelo? There are no confirmed cases of coronavirus within Tom Green County as of 1 p.m. March 18th. As of March 18th at noon, there were at least 95 coronavirus cases in Texas. there were two reported deaths. At least 1,907 people have been tested. Brown County woman positive for coronavirus after international travel. A Brown County woman has tested positive for coronavirus, officials said. The woman is in her 60s and had recently traveled internationally, according to the Brownwood, Brown County Health Department in a news release issued Wednesday, March 18th. The patient had limited community contact and is quarantined and isolated, officials said, adding that the health department's epidemiologist will be investigating this case with additional information to follow. City of San Angelo closes buildings. Here's how to pay your water bill. The City of San Angelo is officially closing certain in-person services to the public. Effective March 18th, the City Hall Annex at 301 West Beauregard Avenue will close to the general public. Offices in the annex include the San Angelo Police Department's Criminal Investigations Division, San Angelo Fire Department's Fire Prevention, Public Information, Engineering Services, Operations Administration, Billing and Receipts, and Water Customer Service. In-person visits for all of these offices will be by appointment only. Water payments can be made online at COSATX.US/waterbill or at the drop box on the south side of City Hall Annex 301 West Beauregard or phone at 325-657-4323. Diocese of San Angelo halts Mass due to coronavirus. Public masses in churches and chapels are temporarily suspended until March 31st. Priests will continue to celebrate the Mass in private. Any church activities involving gatherings of 10 or more people in the same room at the same time are to be canceled or held virtually through March 31st. Church members may gather in small groups of fewer than 10 for Eucharistic adoration, rosary, stations of the cross, etc., practicing social distancing. Rather than attending Mass, Catholics are encouraged to pray at home and meditate on the scripture readings of the day. Broadcasts of Mass are available on television, radio, and online. More info at www.sanangelodiocese.org. San Angelo stores set aside time for older shoppers. Dollar General. Dollar General is dedicating the first hour of operation to senior residents. Older residents can shop from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. starting Tuesday, March 17th. There is not a qualifying age for the shopping hour. Market Street. Beginning on Thursday, March 19th, every Market Street store will have a dedicated shopping time from store opening until 9 a.m. on Monday and Thursday for shoppers older than 60 and guests who have compromised immune systems. Target. Beginning March 18th, Target will reserve the first hour of shopping each Wednesday at stores nationwide for vulnerable guests, including elderly and those with underlying health concerns. HEB. Though not offering senior-specific hours, the stores offering free next-day curbside pickup at stores that offer the service, as well as $5 home delivery. To further promote social distancing, HEB has launched doorstep delivery for all home delivery orders. With this system, delivery drivers will now leave all home delivery orders at the customer's doorstep, eliminating close personal interaction. Learn more or place orders online at heb.com. San Angelo Police Department adapts to coronavirus. Effective immediately, the San Angelo Police Department's Records Section, Alarm Services Office, and Employment Volunteer Fingerprint Services are not available for in-person transactions. Alarm permit applications and renewals will be processed by mail only until further notice. The release of personal property by the department will be made on a case-by-case basis and by appointment. More info at 325-657-4379. On March 13th, the department outlined its move to mandatory online reporting for certain nonviolent crimes, including theft, simple assault, garage burglary, criminal mischief vandalism, harassment, lost property, firearms excluded, identity theft, and debit card credit card abuse. This does not include crimes in progress. Learn more at sanangelopolice.org/COPLOGIC. San Angelo hospitals change visitation policies amid coronavirus. San Angelo Community Medical Center and Community Medical Associates are implementing a restricted hospital and clinic patient visitor policy at all locations. Entry to community hospital is limited to the emergency department. All other entrances will be closed to the public. Adult visitor will be asked screening questions by medical personnel. If a person is displaying symptoms of fever, cough, or flu-like symptoms, they will be asked not to visit patients and leave the facility. The policy is intended to provide safeguards for patients, families, visitors, and caregivers through decreased exposure. Shannon Medical Center is limiting visitation in the emergency and acute care units to one visitor per patient at a time. All visitors must enter through the emergency department, open 24/7, or through the Harris Street entrance, open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and undergo screening each time a person enters the facility. Patients in Shannon's Women's and Children's Pediatric and Labor and Delivery, or Women's Health Units, will be limited to two visits per patient at a time. All visitors must enter through the south entrance of the Women's and Children's Hospital and undergo a screening each time a person enters the facility. Any visitor showing symptoms of fever, cough, or flu-like symptoms will be asked not to visit patients and to leave the facility. Children younger than 16 are not allowed. Coronavirus distancing. Here's a list of San Angelo restaurants offering curbside delivery. By Rosanna Aguilera. In attempt to slow the spread of the coronavirus, many restaurants are closing their seating areas. On Monday, March 16th, President Donald Trump issued guidelines that warn against eating at restaurants, bars, and food courts. The new recommendations also say to avoid groups of more than 10 people. Fortunately, most restaurants are turning to curbside delivery. Here are San Angelo restaurants offering curbside options. Some lobbies remain open for customers if they wish to dine in. Reina's Tacos. Text your order to 325-500-5379 or 325-277-6346. With your food order, also include your vehicle's make and color and time of arrival. Fatty's Grill. Call 325-227-4898 to place your order. Leave your vehicle's make and color when you call in. Helen's Bistro and Bakery. The Bistro will offer curbside service. Call 325-245-6324 to place your order. They will also have pre-order meal packages for your family available. Chang Thai. Curbside service is available by calling 325-227-4349. Grilla Burger and Grilla Burger Cafe. curbside service available at both restaurants. For the cafe, call 325-227-8183. And for the original restaurant, call 325-617-7807. Nacho's Restaurant, Cantina and Grill. Offering citywide delivery and curbside service at 2502 West Loop 306. Call 325-949-6570 to place a curbside delivery order. The Casual Pint. Call 325-939-2337 to schedule your pickup and pay over the phone. Call when you arrive at the store. All packaged beer orders come with a free koozie. Food delivery services in San Angelo. San Angelo To Go. Info. Visit sanangelotogo.com. Enter your zip code, optional address, and delivery time. Pick a restaurant from the list and tell them what you'd like to order. Check out. Concho Concierge. Visit conchoconcierge.com. Choose which assistance you need and fill out all the information needed. You can also call 325-450-5534. DoorDash. Place your order at DoorDash.com. After you place an order, a Dasher picks it up and delivers it to your door. Favor. To place an order, download the Favor app. Sign up with an email address or through Facebook. Find a restaurant or grocery store and place an order. HEB changes store hours to 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to restock shelves amid coronavirus shopping, by staff reports. Starting last Sunday night, HEB stores in San Angelo began changing hours from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. until further notice. The move will allow staff to better restock shelves being depleted by shoppers stocking up because of coronavirus. While we restock our shelves around the clock, much of our restocking and replenishment happens overnight when our stores are closed, a news release states. This temporary change in store hours will give our employees extra time to work diligently overnight to better stock our shelves, allowing us to better serve our customers. Customers can also expect reduced services in HEB delis, bakeries, and floral departments. These temporary changes in the way we run our stores will allow us to get customers the products they need, the release states. Customers with pending orders in those departments will not be charged for canceled orders due to department closures, the company said. HEB will return to their regular hours and full services as soon as they can. The company also encourages people to remain calm and not overbuy. San Angelo sells part of Ford Ranch for $1.2 million. Will retain water rights to Hickory Aquifer, by John Tufts. Officials with the City of San Angelo on Tuesday announced a portion of the Ford Ranch has sold for the amount of $1,296,000, according to a news release. On Tuesday, March 17th, officials with the city announced 864 acres of the Ford Ranch had sold for about $1,500 an acre. The ranch was purchased by the city for about $44 million, or $1,350 an acre. In July 2019, the city listed the Ford Ranch in Concho, McCulloch, and Menard counties for sale with an asking price of $52,480,000, which works out to just under $1,600 per acre for the 32,841-acre tract. As conditions for the sale, the city will retain full rights to the Hickory Aquifer and 50% of the minerals on the property. The sale was awarded to Riverbend, Texas, LLC, and High Point Ranch Expansion, LLC. Also included in the sale is an option period of 30 days to purchase an additional 400 acres of land at the same rate of $1,500 an acre and with the same stipulations, according to the release. Officials said the 864 acres cannot be divided into more than three total tracts. No disposal wells, hydraulic fracking, or water flooding will be allowed. In November 2017, the San Angelo City Council approved the purchase of the ranch from which the city pumps water from the Hickory Aquifer, according to the release. Once the ranch was marketed for purchase, the council determined that buying the property was the surest avenue of protecting San Angelo's stake in the Hickory. Along with the $120 million investment made developing the aquifer as a source of drinking water, the release stated. The Hickory Aquifer Project brings groundwater from the Hickory Aquifer, which is located 15 miles south of Melvin, to San Angelo through a 62-mile pipeline. The city began using its water in 2015. According to the listing, the ranch will convey with access to water for grazing and wildlife operations, and the city of San Angelo will retain half of the mineral rights currently owned, which represents 25% of the ranch's mineral wealth. The listing indicates there are active oil wells on the north portion of the ranch, the most recent of which was drilled in 2018. Angelo State postpones commencement ceremonies. Angelo State University is postponing its commencement ceremonies in line with the CDC's recommendation to limit gatherings. Following the CDC's guidance that no gatherings of 50-plus people be hosted during the next 8 weeks, the May commencement ceremonies are postponed, a release from the college states. Angelo State will confer degrees and mail diplomas in May, and the university plans to invite May and summer graduates to walk the stage in August. A date will be announced within the next week, the university said. We understand this is an unprecedented situation and regret having to make this decision. However, health and safety of the Ram family are our top priority, the university noted. Angelo State postpones commencement ceremonies. Angelo State University is postponing its commencement ceremonies in line with the CDC's recommendation to limit gatherings. Following the CDC's guidance that no gatherings of 50-plus people be hosted during the next 8 weeks, the May commencement ceremonies are postponed, a release from the college states. Angelo State will confer degrees and mail diplomas in May, and the university plans to invite May and summer graduates to walk the stage in August. A date will be announced within the next week, the university said. We understand this is an unprecedented situation and regret having to make this decision. However, health and safety of the Ram family are our top priority, the university noted. Sunset Mall in San Angelo changes hours of operation, by Rosanna Aguilera. Sunset Mall in San Angelo is modifying its hours of operation effective Wednesday, March 18th. The announcement was made Tuesday in a post on Sunset Mall's Facebook page. Sunset Mall continues to monitor the news around COVID-19 and the recommendations of public health and the state, local government officials, according to the post. The health and safety of our customers, employees, and community remain a top priority. The new hours will be 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 5 p.m. on Sunday. Some retailer hours may vary. For example, Bath & Body Works is closed through March 29th. We will continue to follow the direction of the CDC and state local authorities, but for now, Sunset Mall remains open at reduced hours, the post stated. Tom Green County Jail suspends video visitation from lobby. Here's What You Should Know by Elena Edgen. The Tom Green County Jail is suspending video visitation from the lobby immediately Monday after a recommendation from the Texas Commission on Jail Standards, according to a Sheriff's Department news release. The decision was made after much deliberation, but is in the best interest of the staff, inmates, and the general public, the release states. Visitation is available online by smartphone or at home internet visits. People will be allowed 2 internet visits per inmate every 7 days. Extra visits will be charged. While we understand this may cause some difficulties and hardships, please understand that the Tom Green County Sheriffs and Jail are doing our part to help stop the spread of this virus and to keep the staff, inmates, friends, and families healthy, the release states. Visitation will return to normal at the earliest opportunity, according to the release. The Sheriff's Department and Jail are continuing to watch the spread of the coronavirus. They are working with the CDC, the Texas Commission on Jail Standards, and the Office of the Texas Governor. Tom Green County Jail suspends video visitation from lobby. Here's What You Should Know by Elena Edgen. The Tom Green County Jail is suspending video visitation from the lobby immediately Monday after a recommendation from the Texas Commission on Jail Standards, according to a Sheriff's Department news release. The decision was made after much deliberation, but is in the best interest of the staff, inmates, and the general public, the release states. Visitation is available online by smartphone or at home internet visits. People will be allowed 2 internet visits per inmate every 7 days. Extra visits will be charged. While we understand this may cause some difficulties and hardships, please understand that the Tom Green County Sheriffs and Jail are doing our part to help stop the spread of this virus and to keep the staff, inmates, friends, and families healthy, the release states. Visitation will return to normal at the earliest opportunity, according to the release. The Sheriff's Department and Jail are continuing to watch the spread of the coronavirus. They are working with the CDC, the Texas Commission on Jail Standards, and the Office of the Texas Governor. Indictment. San Angelo woman left children with man who sexually assaulted them. By Elena Edgen. A San Angelo woman has been indicted after she left 2 girls with a man who sexually assaulted them, according to an indictment. On May 20th, 2019, the woman left 2 girls younger than age 15 unsupervised with a man she knew had sexually assaulted the girls previously, according to the indictment. She also did not voluntarily take the girls to an emergency infant care facility, according to the indictment. The man involved in the case was arrested under an indicted charge of continuous sexual abuse of a child younger than 14 on Saturday, March 14th. Kimberly Catherine Ray, 32, was arrested about 4 p.m. Monday, March 9th, on suspicion of 2 counts of endangering a child. By 5:43 p.m., she was released from Tom Green County Jail on a $10,000 bond with a condition of no contact with the children, according to online jail records. San Angelo CPS investigator fired after heroin bust by John Tufts. An investigator with Child Protective Services in San Angelo has been fired after she allegedly was caught possessing up to 4 grams of heroin, according to officials. Jessica Lorraine Treese, 40, has been employed with the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services since October 29, 2012. On March 9, 2020, Treese was terminated with Texas DFPS 4 days after she voluntarily turned herself in to sheriff's deputies at Tom Green County Jail. Treese's official cause of termination is listed as a violation of work rules, according to Paul Zimmerman, a spokesperson with Texas DFPS. Treese received no severance package upon being fired, Zimmerman said. Online judicial records do not show when Treese will make her first appearance in court. Indictment. San Angelo man sexually assaulted three children over 4 years. By Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man has been indicted after three children were sexually assaulted multiple times over the course of 4 years, according to court documents. The man sexually assaulted the children, all younger than 14 years old, multiple times between August 2015 and September 2019, according to the indictment. Police arrested John Michael Anthony Gonzalez, 26, around 5 p.m. Saturday on suspicion of continuous sexual abuse of a child younger than 14 years old. Gonzalez made a $50,000 bond just before 7 p.m. that day with a condition of no contact with the victims. He was indicted on the charge January 9, 2020, according to online court records. A woman was arrested days before Gonzalez after leaving two of the children with him when she knew he had assaulted them, according to court records. Continuous sexual abuse of a child younger than 14 years old is a first-degree felony punishable by 5 to 99 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Indictment. San Angelo man sexually assaulted three children over 4 years. By Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man has been indicted after three children were sexually assaulted multiple times over the course of 4 years, according to court documents. The man sexually assaulted the children, all younger than 14 years old, multiple times between August 2015 and September 2019, according to the indictment. Police arrested John Michael Anthony Gonzalez, 26, around 5 p.m. Saturday on suspicion of continuous sexual abuse of a child younger than 14 years old. Gonzalez made a $50,000 bond just before 7 p.m. that day with a condition of no contact with the victims. He was indicted on the charge January 9, 2020, according to online court records. A woman was arrested days before Gonzalez after leaving two of the children with him when she knew he had assaulted them, according to court records. Continuous sexual abuse of a child younger than 14 years old is a first-degree felony punishable by 5 to 99 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Monster Truck Rally Draws a Crowd in San Angelo. By Colin Murphy. Concerns about the coronavirus that saw long lines and empty shelves at stores like Walmart and HEB in San Angelo last week were nowhere in sight at the Foster Coliseum on Saturday as several hundred people gathered for a monster truck rally. The event featured a variety of attractions including motorcycle races, monster trucks crushing vehicles under oversized tires, and other spectacles. Despite concerns about the coronavirus that has led to school and other closures in the San Angelo area and beyond, the decision to hold the event was made by organizers, according to information provided by the announcer at the event. There have been no confirmed cases of the coronavirus in Tom Green County as of Sunday afternoon. New boutique opens in downtown San Angelo, selling women's clothes and accessories. By Rosanna Aguilera. A new boutique opened up in downtown San Angelo selling women's apparel and accessories. Janelle Ray's boutique, 113 East Concho Avenue, Suite 130, was opened February 8, 2020 by Dana Arkeeds. "It has always been my dream to have my own boutique," Arkeeds said. "I am giving God all the glory. I am very blessed to be able to have success with my dream." Arkeeds has been running her boutique online through Facebook for 5 years, then found a storefront in 2020. What was the inspiration for your business name? "It's named after my two daughters, Lauren Janelle and Larissa Ray. It's their middle names." What should make your business stand out? "I want to be a store that is affordable and the clothes are comfortable. Customers have a variety to pick from here. I have had customers give me good feedback, telling me that my store is different from other boutiques. We have lots of solid colored clothes that not everyone else has, but we also have all the fun, flashy clothes. What are your hopes for the future? I want to grow as far as getting more stuff and clientele. I might do a section of men's clothes later down the road, since people have been asking for it. The goal is to keep growing with my customers and getting my business out there. Why did you choose this business path? It has always been my dream to have my own boutique. I love to shop and be in the fashion trend, so that's what led me here. I chose to do this and have had so much fun. Who was your biggest supporter when you started? My family. They have all been my support throughout this. Ever since I decided to have a store, they have been helping with painting, building, moving, everything. They have been with me through it all. August Pfluger reflects on 1995 quarterback controversy in San Angelo by Paul Harris. 25 years ago, San Angelo was entangled in a complicated debate over who should be the starting quarterback of the Central Bobcats high school football team. August Pfluger, through no fault of his own, was caught in the middle of it all. Long before he decided to run for U.S. Congress, Pfluger was a 17-year-old kid in 1995 who had just been named Central's starting quarterback by longtime head coach Dan Gandy. The problem was that Bobby Townsend, a talented black quarterback who led District 4-5A in total yardage a year earlier, was being moved to wide receiver. The decision prompted the local chapter of the NAACP to accuse Gandy of racism, and the San Angelo's QB switch soon drew national attention. ABC featured the issue on Nightline. The Washington Post wrote about it. The Office of Civil Rights in Washington, D.C. became involved. As if playing quarterback in front of nearly 20,000 fans at San Angelo Stadium wasn't nerve-wracking enough, the swirling controversy surely intensified the pressure. Looking back 25 years later, Pfluger said the experience helped prepare him for bigger challenges ahead, like graduating from the U.S. Air Force Academy, flying combat missions over Iraq, and now running for Congress. Obviously, the 1995 season was a really challenging environment, but man, we really learned a lot of lessons from it, Pfluger said. The season taught Pfluger about the importance of teamwork through adversity and pushing forward despite others' opinions. Everybody on the team learned those life lessons, and I've been able to take those lessons because life's going to throw some challenges at you at some point. And you've got to keep going. And you've got to keep working hard and focus on the things that matter. Taking flight. After graduating from Central in 1996, Pfluger attended the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, where he played football for 1 year and baseball for 2 years. After his sophomore year, he made the decision to leave sports behind. Playing either football or baseball at the Air Force Academy required a lot of time, Pfluger said. For me, I just decided to focus on becoming a military officer and becoming a pilot and taking advantage of the education that was provided to us, which was very, very challenging, and that took a lot of effort to do. Pfluger graduated in 2000 with honors and holds advanced degrees in aeronautical sciences and military strategy. He attended pilot training at Laughlin Air Force Base in Del Rio and graduated in the top 5% of his class. He then served as a command pilot and logged more than 300 combat hours in missions over Iraq and Syria. He later served as the action officer at the Air Force headquarters in the Pentagon, and he was recently on the National Security Council staff for President Donald Trump. Not bad for a kid who grew up on a ranch outside the small town of Eden, about 45 miles southeast of San Angelo. Pfluger moved to San Angelo when he was in second grade and soon began rooting for the Central Bobcats. By his senior year in high school, He was a solid 6'2", 190 pounds, and he was elected as a captain of Central's football and baseball teams. Gandy recalled some of the qualities Pflueger showed when he was in high school. "One of the things is leadership. He was a great leader," Gandy said. "And his personality was at the top of the list. He was a hard worker, which of course you have to be, to do what he's done. And he was intelligent too. A lot of people might have lots of intelligence, but they're not workers like he was. He's an overachiever. He's a climber. He wants to succeed." Pflueger said the lessons he learned in athletics at Central helped him later in the military. "Playing those sports in high school and even those first 2 years in the academy, they taught me a lot about work ethic, how important it is to prepare and to practice like you're going to play," Pflueger said. "You get close to your teammates and you try to build a team you want to go to war with." All these years later, it seems easier to defend Gandy's decision to want to have his team quarterbacked by Pflueger with his ability as an athlete and leader. It's also easy to see how it looked suspicious with the kind of athlete the Bobcats had in Bobby Townsend. In the eye of the storm, Townsend, a 6'6", 210-pound playmaker, was Central's QB in 1994. Pflueger, like most everyone else, looked quite ordinary when compared to Townsend's athletic talent. Sure, the Bobcats struggled to a 3-5-2 record in 94, but it was fair to expect Townsend to continue to improve as a senior. Instead, the bombshell dropped during the offseason that Townsend would be moving to wide receiver while Pflueger would take over as QB. Some fans agreed with the NAACP's assertion that Gandy's decision was rooted in racism. Some speculated his arm was twisted by influential parents and boosters who didn't want a black kid leading the team. In 1995, 7 years after Doug Williams became the first black QB to win a Super Bowl, it still was a sensitive subject. Others sided with Gandy, a 33-year coaching veteran who was in his seventh season in San Angelo and didn't have a history of racial complaints. "It was the kind of issue that could have easily torn the Bobcats football team apart, but it didn't. We just stayed focused on being a team, even though there were outside actors that seemed to want to use that situation to their benefit, even to the possible detriment of the team," Pflueger said. "But it really brought the team closer together. In my opinion, it allowed us to become closer as teammates." Gandy said recently he thought the QB switch was simply the best move for the Central football team and that the media helped blow the issue out of proportion. "You have two good athletes, and you have to have both of them on the field," Gandy said. "This was a special way to get them on the field. That's just the way it worked out. The press did what they had to do, I guess." Townsend's father voiced concern that his son's chances to earn a college scholarship were being unfairly hurt. We now know Townsend went on to land a scholarship at Howard University in Washington, D.C., where he also played at wide receiver before taking over as QB his junior year. Gandy said he sent 19 QBs to play college football during his career, and Townsend and Pflueger were the last two. "It was certainly a great deal for a coach to have both of these young men," Gandy said. "They were both great, and it was very unfortunate they had to go through that at that stage in their lives, but they both fought back through it and have done really well." Pflueger said he and Townsend, who was unable to be reached for comment for this story, didn't allow their friendship to be strained. "It was one of those things where Bobby and I were friends before that, and we remained friends during it. It never affected our friendship, and I think that's what we tried to do as a team." Lessons learned. Ultimately, the Justice Department said it found no grounds to file charges against Gandy. Even so, the 1995 Central season, in which the Bobcats again had a losing record at 4-6, will be remembered for the controversy. Gandy retired from coaching after the season. Pfluger and Townsend went to colleges on opposite ends of the country, but they remain linked in San Angelo sports history. Through the good and the bad, Pfluger said, San Angelo sports remain a part of who he is to this day. The experience, I would say, taught me a lot of lessons about leadership, teamwork, hard work, and persistence, all things that have benefited me throughout my time in the military and into my current endeavor running for Congress, Pfluger said. August Pfluger reflects on 1995 quarterback controversy in San Angelo by Paul Harris. 25 years ago, San Angelo was entangled in a complicated debate over who should be the starting quarterback of the Central Bobcats high school football team. August Pfluger, through no fault of his own, was caught in the middle of it all. Long before he decided to run for U.S. Congress, Pfluger was a 17-year-old kid in 1995 who had just been named Central's starting quarterback by longtime head coach Dan Gandy. The problem was that Bobby Townsend, a talented black quarterback who led District 4-5A in total yardage a year earlier, was being moved to wide receiver. The decision prompted the local chapter of the NAACP to accuse Gandy of racism, and the San Angelo's QB switch soon drew national attention. ABC featured the issue on Nightline. The Washington Post wrote about it. The Office of Civil Rights in Washington, D.C. became involved. As if playing quarterback in front of nearly 20,000 fans at San Angelo Stadium wasn't nerve-wracking enough, the swirling controversy surely intensified the pressure. Looking back 25 years later, Pfluger said the experience helped prepare him for bigger challenges ahead, like graduating from the U.S. Air Force Academy, flying combat missions over Iraq, and now running for Congress. Obviously, the 1995 season was a really challenging environment, but man, we really learned a lot of lessons from it, Pfluger said. The season taught Pfluger about the importance of teamwork through adversity and pushing forward despite others' opinions. Everybody on the team learned those life lessons, and I've been able to take those lessons because life's going to throw some challenges at you at some point. And you've got to keep going, and you've got to keep working hard and focus on the things that matter. Taking flight. After graduating from Central in 1996, Pfluger attended the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, where he played football for 1 year and baseball for 2 years. After his sophomore year, he made the decision to leave sports behind. Playing either football or baseball at the Air Force Academy required a lot of time, Pfluger said. For me, I just decided to focus on becoming a military officer and becoming a pilot and taking advantage of the education that was provided to us, which was very, very challenging, and that took a lot of effort to do. Pfluger graduated in 2000 with honors and holds advanced degrees in aeronautical sciences and military strategy. He attended pilot training at Laughlin Air Force Base in Del Rio and graduated in the top 5% of his class. He then served as a command pilot and logged more than 300 combat hours in missions over Iraq and Syria. He later served as the action officer at the Air Force headquarters in the Pentagon, and he was recently on the National Security Council staff for President Donald Trump. Not bad for a kid who grew up on a ranch outside the small town of Eden, about 45 miles southeast of San Angelo. Pfluger moved to San Angelo when he was in second grade and soon began rooting for the Central Bobcats. By his senior year in high school, he was a solid 6'2", 190 pounds, and he was elected as a captain of Central's football and baseball teams. Gandy recalled some of the qualities Pfluger showed when he was in high school. One of the things is leadership, He was a great leader, Gandhi said, and his personality was at the top of the list. He was a hard worker, which of course you have to be to do what he's done. And he was intelligent too. A lot of people might have lots of intelligence, but they're not workers like he was. He's an overachiever. He's a climber. He wants to succeed. Pfluger said the lessons he learned in athletics at Central helped him later in the military. Playing those sports in high school and even those first 2 years in the academy, they taught me a lot about work ethic, how important it is to prepare and to practice like you're going to play, Pfluger said. You get close to your teammates and you try to build a team you want to go to war with. All these years later, it seems easier to defend Gandhi's decision to want to have his team quarterbacked by Pfluger with his ability as an athlete and leader. It's also easy to see how it looked suspicious with the kind of athlete the Bobcats had in Bobby Townsend. In the eye of the storm. Townsend, a 6'6", 210-pound playmaker, was Central's QB in 1994. Pfluger, like most everyone else, looked quite ordinary when compared to Townsend's athletic talent. Sure, the Bobcats struggled to a 3-5-2 record in 94, but it was fair to expect Townsend to continue to improve as a senior. Instead, the bombshell dropped during the offseason that Townsend would be moving to wide receiver while Pfluger would take over as QB. Some fans agreed with the NAACP's assertion that Gandhi's decision was rooted in racism. Some speculated his arm was twisted by influential parents and boosters who didn't want a black kid leading the team. In 1995, 7 years after Doug Williams became the first black QB to win a Super Bowl, it still was a sensitive subject. Others sided with Gandhi, a 33-year coaching veteran who was in his seventh season in San Angelo and didn't have a history of racial complaints. It was the kind of issue that could have easily torn the Bobcats football team apart, but it didn't. We just stayed focused on being a team, even though there were outside actors that seemed to want to use that situation to their benefit, even to the possible detriment of the team, Pfluger said. But it really brought the team closer together, in my opinion. It allowed us to become closer as teammates. Gandhi said recently he thought the QB switch was simply the best move for the Central football team, and that the media helped blow the issue out of proportion. You have two good athletes, and you have to have both of them on the field, Gandhi said. This was a special way to get them on the field. That's just the way it worked out. The press did what they had to do, I guess. Townsend's father voiced concern that his son's chances to earn a college scholarship were being unfairly hurt. We now know Townsend went on to land a scholarship at Howard University in Washington, D.C., where he also played at wide receiver before taking over as QB his junior year. Gandhi said he sent 19 QBs to play college football during his career, and Townsend and Pfluger were the last two. It was certainly a great deal for a coach to have both of these young men, Gandhi said. They were both great, and it was very unfortunate they had to go through that at that stage in their lives, but they both fought back through it and have done really well. Pfluger said he and Townsend, who was unable to be reached for comment for this story, didn't allow their friendship to be strained. It was one of those things where Bobby and I were friends before that, and we remained friends during it. It never affected our friendship, and I think that's what we tried to do as a team. Lessons learned. Ultimately, the Justice Department said it found no grounds to file charges against Gandhi. Even so, the 1995 Central season, in which the Bobcats again had a losing record at 4-6, will be remembered for the controversy. Gandhi retired from coaching after the season. Pfluger and Townsend went to colleges on opposite ends of the country, but they remain linked in San Angelo sports history. through the good and the bad, Pfluger said, San Angelo sports remain a part of who he is to this day. The experience, I would say, taught me a lot of lessons about leadership, teamwork, hard work, and persistence, all things that have benefited me throughout my time in the military and into my current endeavor running for Congress, Pfluger said.